Father, we're blessed. We're so blessed, Lord, that you just stepped into this world to step into our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that with this ever-changing, shifting environment that we live, that you are a form of stability and an anchor and a reference point of truth for us to look to. Lord, every person in this room is facing different circumstances, storms, trials, good times and bad, Lord. And though our circumstances shift and change, Lord, you remain the same. And we pray today that we would be able to extract from the scriptures what we need to minister to our hearts currently, so that whatever we're facing today in this week, that we would be able to act and react in a way that would honor you, glorify you, and please you. I thank you for the lives of the people that you brought here today. I pray, Father, for a great work of the Holy Spirit to take place in our lives in this lukewarm church age in which we live. We pray that you would give us the grace to raise up warriors for your glory and your gospel's sake in a day, Lord, where people are getting comfortable and drifting away. I pray, Father, that you'd renew any love in us that needs to be renewed for you, and that you'd work in a great way, and that you'd do for us what we can't do for ourselves. I pray that the best season of our walk with you is the season that we finish with you, and then we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be in 1 John, if you want to turn there with me. 1 John, we're going to be in chapter 5. We're going to wrap up the book today. We did the Africa thing. We're going to take communion today. So this might be rapid fire Sunday. Don't know. Let you know when it's over. I think it's amazing that, you know, I'll prepare a study and then I'll teach a study. And then the week after, sometimes I got to walk through what I just taught, you know. And there were some things just in my life this week that kind of took place. And I'm so thankful for the Word of God. Where would we be without it? And, you know, even yesterday I was talking to my wife, just going through some things in my mind and my heart, you know, but you know, the battle, the fight that takes place in our thought patterns, in our heart sets, right? But we always have something to bring it back to. We bring it to the Word. You know, we bring it to Scripture because Scripture's truth. How we feel and what we think sometimes are not true, but Scripture's always truth, and it's always a rock, a solid rock foundation that we can continue to build on. So when things get a little crazy in our life, that we can always go back to God's Word and remember that this is truth, and this is what Christ died so that we would know, Him and the gospel. Now, last week we looked at, you know, perfect love casts out all fear. So hopefully that we're learning that when fear comes knocking on your door, you send faith to answer it, and you find out no one's there. Okay, I'll let that digest for a minute, right? Fear comes knocking on your door, you send faith to answer it, and you find out there's nobody there. So we're picking up today, and I didn't have any input on the worship this week, but it's pretty amazing, pretty divine, how a couple of the songs that we sung today play right into what we're looking at here in 1 John chapter 5. And this is what John writes to us, okay? He says this, "For whatsoever is born of God." Now remember, he was there. He recorded it for us. No one else really recorded this event, but John, same author, in his gospel, chapter 3, recorded this event of a religious leader, very moral, very religious, good guy, that came to Jesus with a question. Jesus cut right to the chase, and he said, "You must be born again. You won't inherit the kingdom of God unless you're born again." That scripture rocked me to the point where I looked into it so that I got born again. Because I think it's pretty important, no matter what you accomplish in this life, is that you end up in heaven someday. I don't think there's anything more important than that. I've shared with you before, the greatest aspirations I have for my children is heaven. I want to be with them forever, worshiping around the throne of God and giving the Lamb that was slain the praise that He's worthy of in our lives. But we see here that He says this, whatsoever is born of God, okay? And this is Jesus' must, regardless. Now, you might be here today, you might be very kind, you might be very moral, you might be very religious, or you might be a full-blown scoundrel. You might be a lunatic. I don't know. I don't know where you're at. You know where you're at. But here's the bottom line. You must respond to his must. Okay, Jesus said this. I'm just echoing what he said in John chapter 3. Because when Christ came on the scene, his priorities were eternal. He loved people enough to feed them what they needed to know, not just for their life here on earth, but that they'd spend eternity with him forever in heaven. And that's so important. I hope your greatest aspiration in this life is to know Jesus, and after this life is to spend forever with him. So we see here, he says that whatsoever is born of God, look at, overcometh the world. Overcometh. Now, I think we can look at that word. In the Greek, it's nikeo. It's where we get our word Nike from. You probably, some people in here got the shoes on today. Nike, that's the goddess of victory. Okay, and that's where we get this word from. But one of the things that I want to recognize here, just keep that in the back of your mind. I'm an Adidas fan personally, and Puma. Right, Sean? Me and Sean know. But that's what this word means. It means to prevail, to win, and to be victorious. And the thing that I want you to see here is this word overcome is in a continual sense. What that means for people who are born again of the Holy Spirit, you responded to the must. You repented of your sins and made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. You have a real living relationship with a resurrected Christ. What this means is that his design for our life is that we would continue to prevail, that we would continue in victory, and we would continue to conquer as we go through this life. That our life is not going to get taken out by the enemy, the world, or the flesh. So the thing that we need to recognize here, first of all, Greek tense, this is continual. So we need to ask ourselves today truly, okay? When you made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you positionally overcame. Okay? You overcame sin. You overcame death. You overcame the grave. You overcame the devil. You overcame an eternity in hellfire. You overcame all these things. But does that mean just because you overcame positionally, because your sins have been taken care of, Jesus is your Lord and Savior, okay? If that's been your position, can you truly say it's now your experience? Because it was designed to be. It's designed to be our experience. That we would find ourselves conquering and victorious against anything adverse that's trying to come into our lives and pull us or drive a wedge between us and Jesus Christ. So this is what he's writing here. Now here's the bottom line. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, Jesus writes to seven churches, right? And I think he was writing, he addresses each one of them about overcoming. But I think, you know, obviously Jesus knows the state of the church. He knows the condition of the people, you know. And I believe in those churches, just like in our church, that you know, not everybody that comes to church is saved. And what I mean by that, they might come to the building, but they've never come to the Savior. So I believe that he knew that. But I also believe that he knew that there was people in that church that positionally had overcome, but they weren't experiencing overcoming in their life and through their Christian experience. So maybe the shackles of sin or the weights of discouragement or a heart of hopelessness, maybe things like this were entering in. But he wrote to each one of those churches about overcoming, and he gave them a promise. Listen to these promises. I'm going to read them real quick. You can look them up if you want to reference them later. It's in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. He says, I'm going to give you, this is all written to overcomers. You're going to be able to give, I'm going to give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You won't be hurt of the second death. You're going to eat of the hidden manna. You're going to get a white stone. At white stone, you're going to get a new name written. You're going to be given power over the nations. You're going to be clothed in white raiment. You will not, your name will not be blotted out of the book of life. I'm going to confess your name before the Father and his angels. You're going to be in the pillar in the temple of my God. You're going to write upon his name, upon him the name of my God, and upon him the name of the city of my God, and you're going to write a new name. And I'm going to grant you to sit with me in my throne. So as I look at those things, I think those things are something in our lives that we're told as the church that, hey, we got a lot to look forward to. And I think those are the hopeful things that we need in our life when all of a sudden circumstances don't look like we've got a lot of hope. Okay, when circumstances are coming against us and things are hard, you know, things are going south with the kids. Maybe the marriage is going south. Maybe all of a sudden, you know, things are going on in people's lives very discouraging, you know, or things at work. Maybe you're being falsely accused. You know, the devil's wreaking havoc on your life. You know, but these are the things that we need to remember. We need to remember who we are, whose we are, and what's coming our way, because we've got a lot to look forward to as the children of God. And because of that, it should erupt a great amount of hope in our lives and encouragement in discouraging situations. Because you better know, especially in the days in what we're living in, the devil is trying to wear down the saints of God. Okay? So as he's trying to wear you down, the Holy Spirit's trying to build you up. But you got to put yourself in a position where the Holy Spirit can build you up. So we see here that he wrote this to each one of the churches. Okay? And he wanted them to daily overcome. He says here, you overcome the world, and this is the victory. Listen, Christian, you got to put on armor. Spiritual armor, Ephesians 6. You got to wear your armor. So we have a relentless enemy that will not play fair, and he will be perpetual at harassing you and trying to tear you down and discourage you from living an effective life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were designed, look what he says here, and this is the victory. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to sign up to be on the losing team. My son wanted me to play pig with him the other day. I went out there to play pig to win pig. I don't care about making him feel good about himself. I want to win, period. My other son grabs me, put me in a wrestling move, and I cry like a little girl. Look out! But we want to win, and that's the thing right now, and I think this is part of the problem in the church today. I think we've been so softened because our influence is too much out of the world and not the word. We don't see ourselves as victors. We see ourselves as victims. We live in hurt. We live in the past. We live in fear. And we live in all these things that God has told us. It should be a part of the past, not the present in our lives. God designed you and I to be victors through this life, not just in the life to come, but people walk around victimized. You look at someone wrong. Accidentally, they melt into a puddle. You're so easily offended because you didn't see them and you forgot to say hi, and it kills them. Look at man, we weren't designed to be victims. We got to get over ourselves and get to Jesus and to recognize that we have been called to be conquerors. We've been called to be victorious. We've been called to overcome as we walk through this world. And he that overcometh the world, look at he says, even our faith. And here's the thing about our faith. Paul says that we go from faith to faith. And I think sometimes that's where we get it wrong. I think sometimes we get so satisfied of being saved, and being saved by Jesus Christ was the most wonderful experience that I ever went through on this side of eternity, all right? A perfect holy king like him loved a fallen sinner like me, and he pulled me out of the dunghill, and he set me amongst the princes of his people. That's his grace. That's God's grace. I didn't deserve it. It was an act of mercy. And when we see this, we recognize that sometimes people just leave it there. Hey, I'm saved. Heaven's my home. Hallelujah. And then they stay at that realm of faith. But we go from faith to faith, okay? And I believe saving faith was designed to produce living faith. And it's this faith that's going to give us our victory. What's the faith? You don't have faith in your faith. You don't have faith in your prayers. Don't have faith in your friends. Don't have faith in your pastor. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means that I read this, I ingest this, and this builds in me a depth of trust and belief in Jesus Christ. That's our faith. Our faith is Bible belief in a living Lord. That's what our faith is. That's how we overcome. If you're sitting here all defeated as a child of the king, that's because you don't believe the Bible. Because your circumstances are screaming a greater reality to you than the eternal truth of God's word. And we've got to get to a point where we're looking away from circumstances like we looked at with Peter last week, and we're looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I just did this for application purposes, but honest to God, I'm not a Nike fan at all, especially recently. But their slogan, right? Anybody know the slogan? No, that's Burger King. What'd you say? Swish. No, that's not it. What? Who said that? Give them a blue ribbon. Just do it, right? Just do it. And you can see our overcome and the nikao, right? Victory, conquering. How do we do this? We do it by our faith, by just doing it. James says this, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Look, if you're here today and you're just thinking, you know what, maybe I'll learn something today that I can put in my brain. Man, you're missing the boat. Because I don't know about you, but I need to learn something in here today that will transform my life, that will impact the man that I'm supposed to be. Husband, parent, pastor. That's the deal. So we are to just do it. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Jesus said this, whosoever cometh to me. Now listen, whosoever cometh to me. Well, that's easy. We're sitting at your feet. We're hearing the word. Here's my sayings. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, man. We're in 1 John chapter 5. And do with them. Okay? How can we benefit of being a conqueror, to triumph, to overcome victory? How can we do that if we look at doing the word of God is making the word of God a verb in my personal life? How are we ever going to overcome in any degree of our lives as we look at doing this as something optional? And the Holy Spirit wants to empower us. So as believers, look at, we do forgiveness. We do unconditional love. We do kingdom service and we do seizing gospel opportunities, and you can continue to build on from there. But that was just a few examples. We do these things. And the problem sometimes is we agree, I know these things, but I don't do, there's not a follow through. I'm the worst golfer in the world. Ask Carly, he'll tell you. I'm surprised he didn't say amen. But I'm a great putter. But you know, my follow-through is horrible. Everything about it is just absolutely terrible. And we play best ball, and they never use my ball. They take me only because of unconditional love. That's the only reason I'm on the team. But I think sometimes for us, we've got to follow through. Jesus said, blessed are you if you do these things. You got to do these things to be blessed. You do manhood. You do womanhood. You do service to the King. There's great reward in here from that. Maybe people aren't going to pat you on the back, but he's going to minister to your heart, lift your heart, the heart that says, done it unto the least of these, I've done it unto you, Lord. If you will, go to Revelation chapter 12 with me real quick. When we speak about overcoming, God wants our legal status, okay? We're justified by faith, legal status. He wants our legal status to become our present experience. Verse 9, and that great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which is accuses them before our God day and night. But look at this, verse 11. Because the enemy brings his accusations, right? He might even use a puppet that he owns to put some skin on it in your life. But this is what he says. And they overcame him. Look at, by the blood of the Lamb. Okay, by the blood of the Lamb. The act of grace that has provided my salvation and forgiveness, okay? Positional. Now the experiential in the word of their testimony. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you have a testimony. And that's his impact on your life that is writing God's story through you for who you were designed to be. And then he doesn't leave it there. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Okay? This is discipleship living. It's discipleship living. Okay? This just isn't fuzzy, churchy stuff. This is responding to what Jesus said. You want to belong to me. You want to be my disciples. Then you deny yourself. You take up your cross and you follow me daily. That's what it is truly to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because if you're not living that way, you might have yourself very deceived. All right, you might be very deceived. And I don't want anybody in here deceived. I want to make sure I try to share each Sunday morning like maybe it's the last opportunity I get to. And I want to make sure that if I go home before you go home, that I'm going to see you real soon. Now, Paul had this heart, right? He said, I don't count my life dear unto myself that I might finish my course with joy. You see, he was consumed with doing Jesus' will for his life. That's what he was consumed about. You know, the guy was a great investor. He invested in eternity. The only sure investment in this life is an eternal investment. That's what Jesus said, store it for yourself. Treasures in heaven. Nothing will be corrupted or eaten there. To invest for his glory into eternity. So we see the overcoming here. You could turn back to John with me. It was pretty amazing. Justin picked that song today that we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb, word of our testimony. We really didn't sync that together. The Holy Spirit did. And he said that overcometh the world. Look at he says, even our faith. Remember what Paul said at the end of his life? Here you got, other than Jesus, the greatest man. I mean, Jesus was the God-man, but when it comes down to human level, no man of greater impact that ever walked this globe, I don't think, than Paul the Apostle. Okay, we have a majority of our New Testament given to us as the Holy Spirit spoke through him. And this is what he says at the end of his life, and we quote it all the time. But he says, I fought a good fight. Okay, now, if you're a Christian, you didn't sign up for playtime. This isn't playtime. You signed up for war. You'd be a good soldier. You got to learn to endure hardness. Life's going to keep throwing licks at you. There's no exemptions. Paradise isn't here. Paradise is ahead. But he says, I fought a good fight against adversity, against himself. How many times do you think Paul, I mean, read what he went through. Shipwrecked and stoned and scourged, beaten with rods. I mean, at some point you're thinking, you know, Lord, I think I'm going to retire, lay on a beach and write a book like all those future pastors in America are doing. But he fought a good fight. He fought against discouragement. He fought against the lies of the devil. He fought against quitting, condemnation, pushing through. Paul had to fight himself. He had to fight that flesh side of him. He had to fight that. He says, I finished my course, kept his heart open to God's leading in his life. And here we go, just to tee off on what he says here. We overcome by our faith. He says, I kept the faith. He kept it. He didn't let go of it. He didn't lose sight of it. He kept it. He held on to it as his own. And through it all, it was the foundation that he chose to stay on. And it was an immutable truth that he continued to build on. And Paul didn't quit. There was no quitting him. I don't know about you, but I would say he was pretty victorious. I would say Paul the Apostle was a conqueror. That he wasn't a victim, he was a victor. I would say that. And I think the conclusion here is that he fought a good fight, finished the course, because underneath the whole foundation of it was he kept his faith. He kept the faith. That kept his mind where it needed to be. He's the one that wrote to us that, you know, you got to take your thoughts captive, bring them to the obedience of Christ. What obedience? What Jesus says in his word. We got to ask ourselves truly today, victim or victor? We got to ask ourselves truly today, where is the word of God in my life? And to remember that it was designed to get beyond the eyeballs into the heart that it might motivate action. That's Christianity. Jesus didn't come sit on a rock and just teach and read the Old Testament. He displayed Scripture. He displayed the heart of God. When you're an overcomer, you're an overruler. And what that means is that what the Bible tells me that I believe overrules my current circumstances. It overrules my current trials. And it's there spoken into my heart when I need it to overrule personal temptation. It overrules my weaknesses, and it overrules the devil's voice, who comes with accusation, comes with lies, deceptions. The word of God overrules this. To be an overcomer, our faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, overrules everything. So my eyes might see, but my Savior says. My mind might think, but my Savior says. And my ears might hear, but my Savior says. And whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever you think, whatever you're experiencing, you always got to put the button there. What does Jesus say about it? Because when you take your mind, your heart, and your will to what Jesus says, you're more than a conqueror. I don't know about you, but I believe we live in a world full of victims. Walk around, look around. The news feeds, the news reports. There's a lot of people being victimized by the devil. We've got epidemics of drugs, alcohol. We've got cults and false religions. These people are victims. But we've been born again to be victors. We're victorious in Christ. We're not just on the winning team when we got saved. We're designed to stay winning as we go. That means we keep the lead the whole way.
Verse 6 says this, or verse 5, sorry, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Commentators are divided on this. Those guys are so much smarter than me. But this is what I think. I think the water and the blood that he's talking about was water was when he stepped into our world at the incarnation, and Mary's water had to break in that amniotic sac. And he steps into our world in his incarnation, and he stepped into our world for a rescue mission, right? You shall name him Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Rescue mission. Water. Blood is when he stepped out of the world at his crucifixion. So we went from rescue mission to mission accomplished. It is finished. Because we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold that perishes, but with the precious blood of Christ is a lamb without blemish and spot. That's how we were redeemed. That's how we were bought back out of slavery, delivered out of bondage, the price of someone else, paying a price that we couldn't pay. That's what Jesus did. Go to Isaiah 53 with me. We're going to take communion today, and time flew for me. But Isaiah 53, verse 3 tells us this. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. When I think about Jesus being a man of sorrows, I don't think he was insecure about the way people felt about him. I think he was a man of sorrows, just like when he saw the rich young ruler reject him. He was brokenhearted for them because of the repercussions of their rejection. Nobody knew of the reality or the severity of eternity more than our Savior when he walked this earth. And as he watched men and women reject him, I believe that's what broke his heart, that they kept that sin wedge in their lives. It was the same sorrow that we see in the Garden of Eden when Adam didn't come, or when God didn't come to Adam like a dictator. Where are you? Where are you? We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He's despised, we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. So he bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But look at, he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Every lie you ever said, every sexually immoral act you ever committed, any horrible thought that you've had, any amount of hatred in your life, any thievery, any covetousness, any ill-speaking, bitterness and unforgiveness, any of that that you could say was attached to you, he shed blood for. Idolatry, pride, you name it. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But look at this, with his stripes we're healed. Communion is a very sacred event. And what I mean by that, I just believe that it's very intimate. I believe that it does a couple things. Number one, it causes us to remember what the whole Christian faith is about. It's about Jesus and his cross. And you can't help but thinking about Jesus and his cross, why he went there. He went there for me. He went there for my sin. So for me, it's a time really to recollect what he did, bring it to my present, and say, God, I see this in me, and I'm asking you to forgive me. Right? What we saw at the beginning of this book, 1 John, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. This isn't a confessional. I don't want to hear what's going on, but he does. Very personable and private God. You can bring what's going on in your life to him so that you can be forgiven and cleansed. And not only that, but you can be refreshed in the love of God. That you can sit here and think, man, I must really be worth something to him that he would send his son to die for me. I've got a couple sons, and I can't imagine the depth of love that would have to be in my heart to tell them to go die for someone else, especially at that point when they were enemies of mine. We serve a good God who's so holy and so loving and so true, so real, so tangible. He's here and he knows. Allow him to refresh you and renew you in his love, and remember that we serve a God of love that is faithful and committed to us. He He's faithful and committed to us. That's the kind of God that we serve. Well, it doesn't feel it right now. It don't matter what you feel. I have these feelings in me when I'm driving down the road. I could have taken out half of the population of Western New York. People don't know how to drive. You bring what's going on in your life to the truth that God so loved you that he gave his son. Paul says, who loved me and was crucified for me. It's okay to generalize it, but you can't generalize it without personalizing it. Own it. It's yours as a Christian. Look, if you're here today and you're not born again, this is the day that maybe God, just in his sovereign hand, his providence, he directed you here today because he wants you to know that you must be born again, that you have to make a decision in your life to turn from your sins and to receive him as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, you could do that. Or this really won't mean anything to you. How can we walk away from this and not feel blessed? How can we walk away from this and not feel so rich, so enriched? We've overcome because of the blood of the Lamb that we're going to celebrate today. Positionally, man, Christ is your Lord and Savior. Heaven's your home. You belong to God. You're a child of God because you've been born again of the Spirit. But now it's time to take that faith that brought you to Jesus Christ through the gospel now to living faith and implementing in your lives what the Word of God has to say. Then you find yourself victorious. You find change in you. You find change in your home. You find change in your heart because God honors those who honor him. Faith pleases him. So Lord, as we come before you, we're thankful for your grace that has made us overcomers. We're thankful for that day that we made you our Lord and Savior, and you entered into our lives. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that if there's anybody here that has never made that choice of the will to turn from their sins and to make you Lord and Savior, that right now that they would understand that they need you and that you will forgive them and save them and enter into them. They'd reach out to you now, embrace you into their heart by faith. And Lord, for us today, we're all facing different things. Life isn't always easy, and our enemy doesn't play fair, and things might change. But forever, your word is settled in heaven. We have a rock-solid foundation for living faith to continue to walk upon. That's your truth. Your word. Thank you for sacrificing yourself, Jesus. We partake of the cup today that we would be reminded of your precious blood that was spilled because it was the only way our sins could be forgiven. You are the spotless lamb with no blemish, your body that was broken, sacrificed on our behalf. And we thank you for your presence that's always with us, helping us through the challenging times of life, being there for us to supply to us everything that we need to know from you. And I pray, God, that there just be a revival of a hunger for you in each one of our lives. I pray that as the days go on, we will find ourselves opening up your word more and more, and doing it more and more, because you're worthy of that in the lives of your people, that you'd help us from becoming preoccupied with the things that don't matter, that we might keep our focus on the things that do. We bless your name, and as we take communion today, Lord, we bring our hearts before you as individuals. I can only ask, Lord Jesus, that you would meet with each one of us right where we're at. Help us to hear your still small voice. In Jesus' name. See, I told you we finished the whole chapter. Not quite. Maybe we'll get on to it next week. But may the Lord really bless you this week. May you find yourself sitting with that word and calling on the power of the Holy Spirit to live out that word, whatever God feeds you with this week. Maybe something today. But if you don't know Jesus, you know, Bethlehem was a rescue mission, and Calvary was mission accomplished for you. So if you don't know if you're truly saved, heaven's your home, if you're really a Christian, maybe God's been at work in your life, come on up. We'd love to talk to you and pray with you. God bless you. Have a great day.